This hour of First Up, powered by Manscaped. It is First Up for your Thursday morning. Thank you for being with us, Karolnik and Koliakovo. Whether you're listening live on TSN 1050 in your car, tsn1050.ca, maybe via podcast, Spotify, and on iTunes, just search for First Up. We appreciate you being with us. Again, it's Karolnik and Koliakovo, the morning after a wild, wild night in Denver, Colorado, that saw Nathan MacKinnon score a hat trick and the Colorado Avalanche lose in overtime to the St. Louis Blues in Game 5, meaning there will be a Game 6 back in St. Louis, and we'll head to St. Lou in about 15 minutes for our buddy Cam Jansen, who used to join us all the time. He makes his long-awaited return to the program, again, in about 15 minutes. But Coco, it was Tyler Bozak who scored the OT winner for the Blues last night. You mentioned it. He didn't play a shift for what? 20 minutes or so, as far as real game time, probably didn't hit the ice for more than an hour of real time. Mm-hmm. Then he goes out, you know, throws a puck on net from the blue line, and of course just goes right past Darcy Kuemper. Game over. Tyler Bozak's the hero. Who knew? Yeah. Pucks on net has good results.
And that's overtime hockey for you, right? I mean, you look at some of the other games that we've seen in overtime, and it's not the prettiest goals that go in. It's the ones that find their way to the net. I mean, because, you know, the pressures that you feel in overtime, and it's not the same pressures you feel as a fan watching overtime, because when you're a player, you're just there playing the game. You don't really feel the same pressures and the nervous energy that fans feel. But crazy things happen in overtime, man. You throw pucks at the net, they find eyes, they hit certain things, and they find their way in the back of the net, just like Bozak ended up finding out yesterday. And you know what's weird is, so I have these alerts on my phone from people that I follow, right? And my cable service at home is a streaming service. Like I stream with Cogeco Epico.
And right? Of course, you use Bell's services as well. You have both.
Right, of course. And so it's delayed a little bit. And all of a sudden, I'll get a notification on my phone from somebody that I follow that says, Bozak wins it for St. Louis. And I'm like, no way. And then you watch it happen a couple of seconds
that's
later.
That's the worst when that happens. And that's like maybe a couple of years ago before I, you know, brought back Bell's fantastic internet and television services, which I would highly recommend to our audience. But when you have something ruined for you, like you're streaming something, you're PBRing something, like, wow, did you see that goal? And you're like, what? You look down at your phone and then you look up and someone scores. You're like, well, that's a buzzkill. That's unfortunate. Yeah. But, you know, that's how it works. That's why you got to be rocking the live TV, Coco. And you would have seen Tyler Bozak score that game-winning goal last night in Game 5, his second goal of the playoffs. A long line so far in the Stanley Cup playoffs of former Toronto Maple Leafs who have had epic postseason. Zach Hyman's got 7 goals in the playoffs so far. He has scored a goal in every game of Round 2 in the Battle of Alberta. We know Cody Ceci scored a game-winning goal for Edmonton. We know Tyson Barrie scored a game-winning goal for Edmonton. Nazem Kadri went off for Colorado. Trevor Moore had a big first round for the LA Kings.
Wow.
How about Carter Verhaeghe with 6 goals in Round 1?
Didn't he lead the Panthers in scoring?
I'm sure he did, because they didn't score any goals in Round 2. So if he led them in the first round, pretty good chance he led them in the second round. What is it about those who have received paychecks from the Toronto Maple Leafs that make them playoff superstars for other teams, Carlo?
I think it's just coincidence, right?
No,
but
kidding.
It's really, you know, it's really funny to connect the dots of, you know, players that are having success in the playoffs that are no longer with the Maple Leafs, because you just wonder, where was those performances when you were playing with the Maple Leafs? Well, Nazem Kadri can't really say where was those performances, because he got himself suspended.
He was suspended every time.
2 years in a row doing the same thing. Zach Hyman, you know, it's great to see what Zach Hyman's doing. This guy, when he decided to leave Toronto, picked Edmonton because he wanted to go play with McDavid and Draisaitl and envisioned the success that they could have there, and he's helping them envision that success in the playoffs right now. Tyson Barrie was a cast-off. I mean, the guy that an experiment that didn't work out here. Trevor Moore was the guy that they traded to get acquire Jack Campbell, right? I mean, it's nice to see those guys having success, and that's ultimately what you want when, you know, when you make a trade, is you want to make a trade where both teams, you know, reap the benefits of the trade, except for the Maple Leafs. They haven't really reaped any benefits because they still are staring at that, you know, that inferior
opponent. The harsh reality.
The harsh reality of the first round that they cannot get over the hump with. And, God, I can't believe we got to talk about this for another whole year, about this team's, you know, failures of not being able to be a playoff team and perform in the playoffs. So it is what it is. But in saying that, you know, we still have, you know, some second round games that are going on right now. Obviously, the Blues keep their season alive with an incredible win last night. We got two games back on the slate tonight. We've got a game five between the Rangers and Carolina, where it's a 2-2 series. And we've got a game five in Calgary, where they look to stave off elimination. And you got the Tampa Bay Lightning at home, putting their feet up, enjoying their pina coladas, and just saying, guys, do whatever you need to do, because rest is a weapon for us. And if there's a team that can, and usually this doesn't bode well for teams that are in playoffs and all of a sudden they get this long layoff, but if there's a team that can do it and it won't affect them that much, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning, because they want to turn the switch.
Well, and they could get Braden Point back, and that's probably really the most important thing. You could argue that Braden Point is their most effective forward, the engine that drives the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know, of course, Kucherov and on the back end, Hedman, and you have Vasilevsky and Stamkos. They're stacked, is Tampa. Mm-hmm. But to get Braden Point some more rest, and, I mean, if he can return and be the Braden Point we saw in the last three games of the series against the Toronto Maple Leafs, good luck beating Tampa if you're the Rangers or the Hurricanes.
That's huge, that seems nasty, man. If they get Braden Point back, I don't see anybody stopping them. I really don't. And Tampa Bay was my pre-playoff pick to win the Stanley Cup again, because I just believed in the way that they played down the stretch and the guys that they still have, regardless of the guys that they lost in that championship pedigree, especially when you got Vasilevsky in net. And now they're gonna have more than a week off before they play their next round. Like the whole, you know, the narrative about them being tired, and that's completely gone. This is like them having an off season. You know what I mean?
Well, that's how generally a week is usually how long they have off after winning Stanley Cup. So they're kind of used to that type of off season. But yeah, Tampa's going to be a tough out, and I don't know if it's just me, if it's anecdotal, just people I talk to, but I think there's a lot of people in Toronto getting behind the Edmonton Oilers.
And rightfully so.
And they're a Canadian team, and it's not like the Torontonians are supporting Montreal, which they did not do. Do you remember when the CN Tower was lit in Montreal Canadiens colors last year? Or was it last year or 2 years ago? Like, that was
last year.
There was outrage, and rightfully so. I thought that was an egregious decision by whoever ultimately did it. And actually, I think the reason was because the CN Tower is owned by a national entity, CN, Canadian National Railway, is part of that. But it's not exactly a Toronto-centric thing who decides the colors and all that stuff. That was the rationale. It's not like Ottawa's going to the Cup Final. It's Edmonton. You know, they're out there in Alberta, probably still snowing. Send some oil our way, and we'll support the Edmonton Oilers, and maybe the gas prices can decrease. Is that how it works? I don't know. But I'm supporting the Oilers.
The more you cheer for the Oilers, the cheaper gas is going to be.
I think that's it. Get your McDavid and Draisaitl jerseys out of the closet and support the Oilers. But it's hard not to support them, only in that every win they pick up, and if they win tonight, they eliminate Calgary, and they go on to play the winner of St. Louis and Colorado, which goes to game six tomorrow night. But the opportunity to watch the McDavid Draisaitl Kane line, and McDavid in particular, let's be honest here. How could you not support the Oilers? Because every time you watch an Oilers game, you get to see McDavid play 24, 25 minutes of just pure, utter dominance. It's so much fun to watch. And it's the closest thing to a LeBron or a Kobe or a Jordan-type performance as we could see in the NHL, because he is a one-man wrecking crew. Every time he's on the ice, he just has the puck the whole time, just dangling around and completely unstoppable. He is a basketball player in a hockey rink right now, and it's incredible to watch, and you have to dial in and every time he's playing.
And these are moments that you really have to cherish too, right? Especially in playoffs, because in playoffs you mostly see the best teams win and the best teams advance. And sometimes those best teams don't have the best players on them, and you're watching the New Jersey Devils, you know, a team that plays boring hockey, win the Stanley Cup. And you know, when Pittsburgh did it back to back, they had Crosby. You know, when Washington did it, they had Ovechkin. You know, the St. Louis Blues didn't really have that superstar guy, but they had some great stories on that team. Ryan O'Reilly, you know, getting traded the year before from the Buffalo Sabres. Jordan Binnington, you know, being the guy that came out of nowhere to lead the team to the Stanley Cup. And now you got Tampa Bay back-to-back. I mean, yeah, they're full of star players, but it's almost like people get sick of watching the same thing over and over again. But now, I mean, the way I sort of follow sports, I don't really cheer for teams. I mean, the only team that I really cheer for are the Buffalo Bills. I cheer for players, especially in hockey.
And the Argos. You cheer for the Argos.
Well, cheer for the Argos.
I guess you're more of a Ticats guy.
And MBT, right?
That's right.
I cheer for players because I want to see the best players play on a nightly basis. And if that means watching the Oilers play, because McDavid plays on them, because Zach Hyman, we love Zach Hyman. Great guy to follow and great friend of the show for us. Sign me up for it, man. Especially at this time of year where the NHL has the opportunity to finally showcase its stars of the game. Like, you're talking about a series that could envision McDavid versus MacKinnon, the two guys we talk about every year. Who's better than who? I mean, you're putting that in a conference final in the playoffs? That's a home run for the NHL and hockey, watching those guys play at this time of year, and especially with the way that they're playing.
If that happens, I will quote you in saying this. Bang! Let's go, because I am in on a Colorado-Edmonton Western Conference final. I cannot possibly fathom anything more intriguing than that. Unfortunately, both in time zones that I don't love. Edmonton and Colorado.
I swear to God, if the NHL screws this up when they go, if these two teams meet and they think that the best time to play these games between these two teams is like 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, that's what it's going to be. 9:30, 9:10. Yeah, it's brutal. Well, whatever. What are you going to do? We'll talk to Cam Jansen in about 5 minutes, but first, TSN 1050's Fill My Ride contest. Your chance to win hundreds of dollars in gas money every weekday. Around this time, we give away the Fill My Ride keyword of the day. And when you hear the cue to call at 820, start dialing our number. It's 416-870-1050. Today's keyword, MacKinnon. MacKinnon is today's keyword. Cam Jansen won't like that keyword. He is a St. Louis guy. He is a broadcaster for the Blues. He's a born and bred St. Louisian. Is that how you say it? I don't know.
Maybe.
We'll just go with it. He's going to join us on the other side, one of the hosts of Hot Take Central in St. Louis, and a good friend of the program, longtime NHLer. Cam Jansen joins us next. So it didn't look so good for the Blues at many periods of time in last night's game against the Colorado Avalanche. Down 3-0. They storm back. Then MacKinnon scores that incredible goal to make it 4-3. And the highs and lows of that game can be explained by three tweets from our next guest, Cam Jansen. The first, oh my word, #Blues. This next tweet I can't say on the air, but it's a word that starts with F. And the third is good Lord. Let's welcome him in. It's our good friend, longtime NHLer, one of the hosts of Hot Take Central on 590 The Fan in St. Louis, Cam Jansen, back on First Stop. Good morning.
What's up, guys?
Welcome back.
The emotional roller coaster you go through with these Stanley Cup playoffs is just insane. And, you know, hey, good thing that was a 7 o'clock game, though, because I really would have been tweeting a lot of different stuff out that night because it would have been a long night. So thank you, Tampa Bay Lightning and Patty Maroon, for shutting that series down so it could be a 7 o'clock game in the Central.
Well, yeah, thanks for rubbing it in here. We get to watch McDavid and company at 10:30 at night.
Oh, I know.
Stupid.
Yeah, he was on the other day at 7. It was quite nice to see him without just one eye open, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jets, how impressed are you with what the Blues were able to do yesterday?
I mean, gosh, oh my! The ups and downs that they've been through in the last, you know, week with Binner and the Kadri situation, which, you know, it just was so, it was a very bizarre, it was, he's the guy everybody's mad at, and then all of a sudden, the weirdos on the internet come out and, you know, say crazy things, and then this whole thing, and then, of course, Chief has to come out and give us a statement about things. It just was bizarre. And for them to be able to collect their emotions after being down by 3, which I'm watching that game, and you guys know, I'm like, oh, God, it's over. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm like, it's over. And for them just to finally squeak in a goal, Vladimir Tarasenko gets a goal leading into the second period, and they started kind of creeping in and going. And, I mean, again, the emotional roller coaster, it ages you watching these damn games.
Isn't it awesome, though? I mean, I don't know how you felt, Jens, but in the first 4 or 5 games of the first round of the playoffs, it sucked. Like the playoff hockey was horrendous to watch because there were so many penalties called. You didn't see the playoff intensity. You didn't see some of these star players, you know, balling out the way that they're doing right now. But based on the hockey that we've seen, you know, the way the first round ended, where I think we saw 5 game sevens, and now we're seeing the second rounds play out. Isn't this what you just grow to love about playoff hockey, with the intensity, the emotions, the star power, the comebacks, whatever it is? It's just awesome.
It is awesome, and it's unique. Hockey's got something special. And even down here in St. Louis, where, let's be honest, I mean, the Cardinals are the baby. Now, the Blues are getting there, and they're kind of closing that gap maybe a little bit. But this is a baseball town. But the town stops what they're doing to watch playoff hockey, man, and to watch these Blues in playoffs. Like, the whole, even if you're not a hockey fan in St. Louis, where there's people like, you know, borderline, this, that, they'll watch playoff hockey. It's just something that clicks, the emotion, the intensity, the speed, you know, the anger. Like, it's just nothing like it. It's crazy. And some of these games, you're right with the first round, too. Like, remember, like, Dallas and Calgary, like, okay. Now, some of those games are pretty cool because of goalies, you know, stood on their head, but you want to see some goals. But now, like, it always kind of comes in a circle. This series has been crazy. You know, of course, what Connor McDavid's doing, just lighting up, you know, the world, which we want to see. It's nice to see him in the second round, you know, like it kind of is. It's good for the game. So the NHL has a special thing going with these playoffs, man. And again, you can't replicate it with any other sport.
Our guest is Cam Jansen, back on First Up in far too long. We gotta make this more of a regular occurrence, Cam. But you're a big time sports radio host in St. Louis.
As a morning guy now.
You are a morning guy, and I know you're looking at the clock watching hockey games like Carlo and I do all the time. You're like, all right, let's speed it up here. No more whistles.
Yeah.
No more
no
power
overtime.
Plays. No overtime, that's for sure. You mentioned McDavid and his greatness, 25 points in 11 games. Do you think Nathan MacKinnon was watching maybe TSN or listening to your show and was like, all right, enough of the McDavid love. It's time for MacKinnon to show up and do his thing. And, I mean, that's what he did last night, a hat trick, including one of the great goals we've seen in the Stanley Cup playoffs for his third of the night. What did you make of MacKinnon's performance last night, Cam?
Well, he's been kind of quiet. You know, the Blues have been doing a pretty good job of kind of shutting him down. And Cal Makar as well throughout the first couple games. I know he might have been banged up a little bit. But they're so deep to where, you know, you just shut him down, other guys are going to step up and take games over. But you could just tell how much better he is than everybody else when he gets the puck. And, like, you're like, okay, what's he going to do? Like, he stick handles so fast. He'll pull up on you. He's so strong. He's kind of like he bounces off checks, too, you know, kind of like Connor McDavid did the other day when Zadorov tried to lay him out. Connor just kind of like, you know, just puts himself in a situation so he doesn't have to absorb a full hit from some of these big guys. And once he gets tuned up and cruises around the net, if you don't angle him, MacKinnon, like, he's just going to go end to end. Like, what do you do? Poor Nick Leddy, who is very mobile, kind of gets walked. He kind of backs up. It's like they're backing up all the way to the goal. Either he could have ripped it between his legs, but he had so much speed to where Leddy just looked like he was a flat-footed pylon. And I felt bad for him because he had a pretty decent game. But anyway, he's unbelievable. And right when they scored that, it's so weird. Like, you look at their bench, Colorado's bench, They were celebrating like they won the damn thing. They kind of did. Jumping on each other, and we all looked at it like, it's over. That's why I sent that lovely poetic tweet out. I thought it was over. And then, of course, the resilient Blues were like, no, 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 we're still in this thing. And scraped by a couple goals, kept the team alive. And then you just wanted to get into overtime. And, of course, Tyler Bozak, a fourth-line guy, goes in with a little bit of zip to his game because he hasn't been playing much and finds a way to sneak a slap shot through.
Yeah, that's like Cam Jansen scoring an overtime goal, too, in the playoffs.
Well, the fourth lines were out there, man. Torbchenko was out there in like the last part of the game making plays. Like, yeah. It's kind of nice to see. They got energy.
Hey, look, hockey's changed, right? You need four lines. You need confidence in that group to go out and do something positive for you. And Torbchenko was a big reason why they tied the game with the goal that he set up to make it 3-3. Before Thomas tied it to make it 4-4 to allow the Blues to get to overtime. But, Jans, obviously the big story in this series was, the injury and the collision between Kadri and Binnington. And obviously Binnington's not going to be available for the Blues, at least for the remainder of this series, depending on how far it goes. But if the Blues find a way to create some Gloria magic again, what do you know about the Binnington injury? Is this something that he could potentially be available for the team in the next round? Because the way he was playing, Carlo.
I mean, when we text Ray Borelli real quick for you, Carlo.
Yeah, like, can you?
Like, he's gonna tell me? Are you crazy? Look, I think I think if it was really serious, we probably would know by now. You know, they probably want to get something done. But isn't it weird? Some of those collisions, though, like. I mean, I've had hit guys weird and have huge collisions and nothing happened and pulled guys right. That wasn't that bad. It just hit him in a weird spot where he was stretched. Benner was stretched out, and it's all it takes to get bumped in a weird spot where your ligaments are in a weird spot where you're stretched out trying to make a save. But yeah, man, I hope he's okay. Huso played pretty well last night. He made big saves when he needed to. But then again, when you see the McKinnon goal, I know he's going 100 miles an hour. I know he's unbelievable, but like I think Huso thought he was going to shoot it. He was going so fast, Huso's angles were off, and they're like, "Oh God!" So Benner was so good. He was such on his game. It was so cool to see kind of crawled out of the hole that he somewhat created throughout the season. The second half of that season, you're like, "Okay, we got him back." And then now that happened, Huso has to step in and has been playing okay. But as long as they give you a chance to win, man, that's all you could ask for right now. So. To answer your question, like I don't know, but I would say that he probably, if we prolong this and you go into the third round, I think he might be available. But then again, Carl, I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Look, I wasn't expecting to give me a definite answer, but it sucks that, look, nothing against Huso, but I think this would be a completely different series if Binnington was still playing. And we'll see how far the Blues can take this. It was an amazing comeback yesterday. I would imagine you've been watching a lot of the playoffs and you've got some great ties to the Tkachuk family. What do you make of Brady Tkachuk being the ultimate super fan of Matthew Tkachuk in Calgary and showing what St. Louisans are all about in their Bud Lights?
Yeah, look, I love that family. I love Brady, love Matthew, the big dog. We all know how much we love him and how cool he was to all of us in the locker room. One of my favorite teammates ever. But right now, I look at Brady and I'm like, I don't know, he might need to hide a little bit, right?
Yeah, like tone it down.
He might need to tone it down a little bit, Walt. Like, I can't believe Walt let him do that. At the beginning, I'm like, yeah, it's cool, but it's about Matthew,
Yeah.
Like, the attention should be, about Matthew. Like, he's so I think it was cool at first, but now I'm like, I'd probably just get a box and hide. You could still, like, root for him. We all know that you love your brother. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I think he needs to hide a little bit at this point.
Jance, before we let you go, we've always loved reminiscing good old fight stories from you. And Terry Ryan, he's got a new show all called Shorzy, where he talks about life as a hockey player. And he was on Bar Down the other day sharing an amazing fight story. I want you to listen to this clip that he shared and tell me if it brings back any memories.
My second game, I grabbed hot sauce from the table. I'm not sh-ing before the game. Washed my hands in the hot sauce.
Oh my God.
Put them in the gloves. And I chipped my side of my helmet. And when he punches me, he's going to rip the out of his knuckles. So anyway, I take a f***ing at the start of the fight, obviously, because he's hitting my helmet, which is, you know, a weapon at this point. And I see the blood, though, coming down him, and that's when. Rub my thumbs in his eyes. He does this. He's about 6'4", 230. Pulled him, kicked the living piss out of him, went off like this. The place is sold out. We go out after to a place called the 4x, and I lose my virginity.
That's a okay. hell of a night.
Isn't it?
Oh, okay.
The hot sauce knuckles, okay?
Oh.
Wash your hands in hot sauce so that when you're fighting a guy, you put your hands in his eyes and he can't see because there's hot sauce in his eyes.
Oh,
have you,
my God.
What are That's some of the tricks that you use? Look, you're an undersized guy, man, not to take away from your toughness, but you fought some big guys. What are some of the things that you did to take advantage of fights that you were in?
Well, I wouldn't do that because everybody's going to know that you did that. It's going to smell the whole place up, and that's pretty gutless. But if, you know, you got a big guy that's going to jump you, you got to do anything you can. I would always rip my jersey, my neck, you know, so it would stretch out. So because I was so short to where if they grabbed my jersey and my shoulder pads, they'd have complete control of my neck, meaning you got control of me. So I'd rip my jersey and kind of like make it pretty loose on my neck, which is petty stuff. I'd keep my shoulder pads a little loose, so I'll get my arm out. If I need to get my arm out, you know how much of an advantage you get because you could throw freely at that point. But you know what guys would do to me, though, in juniors, Carlo, is that stupid tough skin that the trainers put on your whatever.
The dry stuff, the spray, yes.
Yes, they'd spray their knuckles, and I could smell it. Even in the square off, when you grab, you clinch onto each other, I'm like, you son of a gun, you put tough skin up. And they'd hit my face, and they would rip my skin off. Oh. And I'd have, like, a rash, and it looked like I'm, like, I don't know. It was kind of awful. And, again, the stench, and it would be sticky all over my face. Yeah, that was pretty gutless, too. But and then probably guys getting hopped up on Ultimate Orange. And so you came and, like, you know, they're going so crazy that they can't feel pain. That always sucked fighting those guys as well.
Ultimate Orange?
What Remember is that? Remember those You know what I'm talking about. Remember in juniors, they had those little orange things. You know, guys were taking Sudafed and stuff back in the day. But there's okay. There's
Scooby
a couple.
Snacks. The Scooby snacks.
What's that?
The Scooby snacks.
Yeah, those little, yeah. Just like the worst thing ever. Don't ever do that, by the way. Like your heart races. It's god-awful for you. But I remember some guy, you could always tell because their eyes are just like googly. And you're like, oh, boy.
This guy's on the orange.
The orange. The orange. What did you call it? What did you call it?
I think it was Ultimate Orange.
Ultimate Orange.
You'll know. I mean, all y'all know if you know. But it's horrible for you. Don't do it.
No, it's Carlo and I tried Ultimate Orange when we first started doing the show together in September. But it was only for the month of September. You know, once October rolled around, we were good to go. Cam, yeah. I know you got your own show in about 25 minutes. Thanks for doing this, man. We'd love to have you back on. As the Blues look to continue their run starting, I guess, tomorrow night back home. Yeah. So it should be a fun one there.
Packed house, baby. I'll be there. Right on, guys. Good talking to you guys.
Always, buddy. That's Cam Jansen from Hot Take Central. What a name for a radio show in St. Louis on 590 The Fan down there, and longtime NHLer, friend of the show. The Terry Ryan clip, I mean, the whole, like, losing the virginity at the end of the clip was the real punch. I thought you were going to ask Cam how and when he lost his virginity, but I guess he went with the hot sauce instead, which is understandable.
Dude. You could go so many ways with that clip. It's hilarious. How about him chipping his helmet so that it was a weapon when people would hit their Dude, I played with a guy in Toronto, Ryan Holwig. Okay.
I remember, yeah.
Okay. He literally wore the worst looking helmet purposely because I think it was the old Easton ones. They were really bulky up top. And he basically said, I wear this so that when guys punch my helmet, they hurt their hands. these are the things that these guys think of, man. It's crazy.
I mean, I don't know, fortunately or unfortunately, it's different these days. There's only a couple guys left in the NHL. I mean, Ryan Reeves comes to mind as the first and foremost, quote-unquote, enforcer. I mean, Ryan Reeves can beat the crap out of anybody in the NHL, maybe save Tom Wilson. By the way, we wish our best to Tom Wilson, a friend of the show who Did he undergo the surgery or is going to undergo the surgery?
He underwent it, yes.
Yeah, so he's out 6 to 8 months, I believe, was the timeline.
6 to 8 months for an
ACL. But we know Tom Wilson. He'll be back in the short end of that time frame. Yeah. That dude is as tough as nails, and hopefully a quick recovery for him. First up, brought to you by Manscaped. Use the code 1050 for 20% off and free shipping. Just go to manscaped.com. We are off at 9 a.m., as we are carrying Canada and Sweden in the World Hockey Championship quarterfinals. That puck drop just after, I think, 9:15. So we have it for you on radio. We have it for you on TV. Mike Johnson and Gord Miller have the call for you on radio and on television. We also have James Duthie joining us in about 40 minutes' time. Love talking to Duthie at all times. I know he's been at the studio late nights. Probably was there pretty late last night. For the Tyler Bozak overtime winner.
No, I think he just does Canadian games.
Oh, he only does the Canadian games. All right, well, Duthie.
I just can't see that happening.
Oh. Yeah. What can't Duthie see happening? I'm not really sure, but, you know, maybe there's a lot of things Duthie sees happening, and he will bring those to us when he joins us at 8:20. We're back with Would You Rather in about 7 minutes. First up rolls on this beautiful Thursday morning here in Southern Ontario. We'll be back after this. Back on First Up, it's Thursday morning, the morning after a great game in Colorado that saw the Blues winning 5-4 in overtime. It was Tyler Bozak scoring the winner. I should also issue an apology to those who tailed Sergeant Spread last night in the FanDuel Best Bets. They were not the best bets.
Not the best.
They were the worst bets. 0-3 for the Sarge.
If you look at it as a whole, 2 days you started, you're 3-3. You're even.
We got some minus money bets here, so we're not quite even. But you can guarantee I've been up all night prepping, diligently researching different props, and I am loving the board tonight. So I am seeing it.
Another
2020 vision.
Another 0-3.
What, you're pissed at me because I gave you the Kyle Lowry pick last night and he had zero assists when it was
over?
Dude,
that guy had the worst stat line I've ever seen. The one time I jump on one of your plays, you're like, oh, this thing's a lock. It's going to win. Yep. Zeros across
the board.
They scored 80 points. They had a stat line. 0-0-0-0.
You know this stat? Look, you probably hate this stat. Potential assists? How much do you hate that stat? With Kyle Lowry, because he had 12 potential assists last night, but finished with zero real assists. I sound like Al's brother and expected goals, and man, that guy loves himself some expected goals. But there were some expected assists last night from Kyle Lowry. The first one, like, you texted me immediately. Jimmy Butler has this wide open layup courtesy of Lowry, and he misses it, and that just set in motion just an awful night for Miami's offense, and they
score 80 points. 3 minutes of the game, he literally could have had his over 4.5.
Yeah.
Stick
with me.
Oh, hey, look, I'm poking fun at you because, look, at the end of the day, it's not your fault. You gave me a play, but
it was a good play, great play.
You're normally bang on this stuff, so.
Well, here's what I got for you tonight. Reggie Bullock of the Dallas Mavericks, 2.5 threes. Take the over.
Perfect. I'm betting the other.
Lock it in. Just a couple mortgages. That's all you want to put on it.
It's funny because yesterday I put up a poll question, and we talked about, you know, Connor McDavid and his greatness in the playoffs and how Maple Leaf fans feel about Austin Matthews. And my question was, if you're starting an NHL franchise today, which player are you choosing to start it with? And the poll results are in that Connor McDavid won the votes at 74%. Austin Matthews had 20% of the votes. And Nathan MacKinnon only had 3.5% of the votes. I wonder if I posted that today, if the percentage would go up on Nathan MacKinnon, considering what he did last night. I know it wasn't a losing effort, but come on, the guy was an absolute beast. He activated beast mode yesterday.
What you're referring to is recency bias. That's inherent in any sports fan. I mean, you see a guy put on a performance like Nathan MacKinnon did, a hat trick, an assist, one of the most beautiful goals we've seen in the entirety of the Stanley Cup playoffs so far for the Hattie to put Colorado up 4-3. Yeah, you're going to look at MacKinnon more favorably. But come on, man. McDavid's the best player in the NHL. He's the guy you start your franchise with 10 times out of 10. And honestly, I'm surprised that it's not 95% McDavid. He has 25 points in 11 games in this postseason. He led the league in scoring in the regular season. He's the best player in the world. And I'm surprised that Matthews is getting as much love as he is. I guess it's because you cater to the Toronto audience.
Aside from McDavid's dominance in the playoffs, how could you turn a blind eye to what Auston Matthews did in the regular season?
I'm not turning a blind eye to that. He scored 60 goals in the regular season.
And he was dominant in the regular season.
He had a pretty good postseason.
Not just on offense, on both sides of the puck. So,
but it goes to the recency bias thing, right?
I think it does. Because remember, for two straight years prior to this year, all everybody was talking about was MacKinnon closing the gap on McDavid because of how amazing he was in the playoffs. In those previous years, where if Colorado had any type of a goaltender in those 2 years, we'd be talking about them maybe being a potential Stanley Cup champion. So it's a good question to ask. I really don't think there's a right or wrong answer. I think anybody would take any one of those three guys to start a franchise with. But recency bias would tell you, like, if you had to pick today, most people would take Connor McDavid.
Yeah, I mean, if you're taking Pierre Engvall, that's the wrong answer. But yes, between Pierre McDavid, Engvall, MacKinnon, and Matthews, the M's, the top M's in the NHL, those three, I think you could probably go any of the three and be pretty content with your decision. James Duthie, in about 30 minutes, we'll talk about the RBC Canadian Open field yesterday, which added another big name. This is a star-studded event. Justin Thomas commits to the RBC Canadian Open yesterday, joining guys like Rory McIlroy. Your boy, Cam Smith, will be there.
No way!
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Cammy Smith is coming? I got to find that guy and take a picture of him, man.
I would be so fired up. See, and we'll talk to Duthie about this, where watching golf live ranks amongst your favorite sporting events. I mean, you go to hockey games, basketball games, football games. For me, watching live golf is the best. And I mean, maybe that's the golf nerd in me, but I think it is so cool watching this. Just dudes crush three woods from like 275 out and put it on the green.
I've never watched live golf.
You've never seen a PGA Tour event live?
Never.
Well, you will in a couple weeks, my friend.
Can't wait,
buddy. On location.
I want to be in a cart following Cameron Smith around the
world. Well, I don't know if that'll happen. You might have to walk. Might have to walk.
No, I'm gonna.
Dude, you're not even playing. You're just scrolling around the court.
I'm gonna apply for an exemption. That's
you are John Daly.
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Yes. Oh, noodles! Wow, that's a harsh condemnation of my man Carlo. But that is embarrassing. You know what? We'll talk to Duthie. If anyone could get that done for you, it'll be James Duthie. And again, he joins us in about 25 minutes. Would you rather? Coming up on the other side, and maybe the name McDavid, MacKinnon, and Matthews could come up, and would you rather? We'll have to find out, and we'll do it next.
The evening will culminate with a game.
A contest.
Each player will be given a choice between A or B, decision-making in its rawest form. Would you rather? You must make the decision.
First Up continues here on this Thursday morning. Carlo, I'm reading the story out of the New York Post about a new drug from the company Concert Pharmaceuticals. And they say that their new twice-daily pill can combat and reverse hair loss. 4 in 10 participants in this drug trial were able to regrow their hair fully in less than a year. That's impressive. And man, if baldness was
a rod.
That's right, Arod, we're going to hook you up with some of that drug, and
is
you
that
will
only
have luscious
for your
locks.
Head, though?
I mean, is this a Manscaped reference here?
No, facial hair, like, I don't know, like, there's people that can't grow hair. Is this only for your head?
I do not know the specifics, but it's very exciting nonetheless. I'm sure for our bald listeners, that's good news, it's exciting. Very exciting.
Nice.
Would you rather have the drug or not have the drug? Pretty easy answer for me. I would rather have it. And I'd rather have our man Arod present our topics of conversation for Would You Rather right now. Go ahead, Arod.
I mean, I'd rather be bald because I look good bald.
It's something I've always gotten from the ladies, so...
Oh, rather, this guy is ladies, man, eh?
Listen, if you're balding, you gotta lean into it. You can't fight it, you gotta join the dark side.
Hey, man, if I could pull off the bald look, man, I'd be there with you. I hate hair. Absolutely hate it.
You hate hair?
Hate it. Absolutely.
What does that mean?
I hate having hair. If I
no
could
one
pull
has
off,
ever said that before.
What? How hard?
What is
it
about having hair? Do you hate
the fact that you have to do it all the time? I wear hats. I don't need hair.
So you would rather be bald than have hair?
Am I speaking a different language, Rob?
I'm confused.
I mean, did you guys not understand what I said? I said if I could pull off a bald look, I would do it because I hate hair. Is that Rod? Did you understand what I said?
I do. Join
okay,
us, baby.
20
join
fingers.
Us.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. Why is it so difficult for
I
you
guess
to
we
understand?
Do have two bald dudes working behind the scene. I guess Chris isn't bald, but he just shaves his head with a tight
cut. Well, it's just
cut.
Like every 2 weeks you need a haircut. It's just I hate it. I hate hair.
All right.
I wish I could
love
hair. A bald look.
Look at this beautiful hair I've got on my head.
Nice.
Fantastic.
Cloth.
Thank
nice
you very
cloth.
Much. Anyways, Arad, what we got?
Would you rather wear what Tyler Hero was wearing last night or what Ben Simmons was wearing when they got eliminated in Game 4?
Ooh, wow. What Ben Simmons was wearing was just absolutely embarrassing. I mean, just the color scheme was just an eyesore. What Tyler Hero was wearing was cool. Like,
Awesome.
it looked amazing. So, yeah, I would definitely pull off the Tyler Hero look.
Oh, and we just have a disdain for anything associated with Ben Simmons on this program. So the Tyler Hero look is ultimate Miami, right? You're down
yes.
on South Beach. Maybe you hit some
Miami
clubs.
Vice.
Miami yes. Vice. Yeah, it's like, you know, Scarface. He's got the sunglasses, the all-white fit. Something maybe I'll pull off this weekend in downtown Toronto. Look out for me, people. Look out for me.
Would you rather watch McKinnon versus McDavid now or Sid versus Ovi back in 2009?
McKinnon versus McDavid now. Like, I think Sid and Ovi was great, but they did it a different way. Like, McKinnon and McDavid are just doing it in an electrifying way, like, just with their speed and their incredible skill set. I mean, Crosby and Ovi, like, Ovi was big on scoring goals and the emotions that he showed. Crosby was just willing his way to, you know, to success. And that there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, I'm in the entertainment business. And to me, I just find like McDavid and McKinnon would entertain me more.
Mike, you're selling Crosby a little bit short. The will. I mean, this guy has an unbelievable amount of skill in addition to the will that he possesses.
Okay,
Ovechkin's one of the most exciting players of all time.
Does Sidney Crosby have the same type of electric skill set that McDavid and McKinnon have?
He does not, no.
Okay, so that's what I'm saying.
Well, I know Ovechkin does, or did, and
no,
still
he
does.
Doesn't.
Ovechkin never had the electric skill set that Nathan McKinnon has.
No.
I disagree. I mean, as far as watching a player, the electricity that he provides night after night, what Ovechkin does with the hits and the clappers from the far circle on the power play, I don't know. I think that's pretty exciting.
Go back okay. and watch Ovi highlights from like 05 to 15, and he's as electrifying as anyone, man. Come
that's
on.
Right. You take that, Carlo. A Rod laying down the law.
That goal against Montreal, like...
Okay, I'm not saying he's not electrifying. I'm just saying comparing him to McDavid and McKinnon, I don't even think there is a comparison. McDavid and McKinnon stand out 100 times more than Ovi.
100 times
yes,
more.
Yes, man. Ovechkin can't do the same things that McDavid and McKinnon can do at ultimate high speed that those guys can play at. I just don't think
that's
he
true.
Can.
But when we're talking about electricity, in any case, all right, we agree to disagree. What else we got, Rod?
Fair.
Well, McDavid is obvious, so I'm going to keep him out of this question. But if you start an NHL franchise right now, would you rather have McKinnon or Matthews?
I'd rather have Auston Matthews. He scored 60 goals. He's the best goal scorer in the NHL, bar none. And yeah, you have to take McDavid out of the equation, but I would take Matthews over McKinnon.
I'm taking Matthews over McKinnon, too, and this is... not a shot at McKinnon and how great he is. I just look at what Matthews is developing into, and he's not there. You know, I wouldn't say he's not there yet because he hasn't had the playoff success that these guys have had, but once he does, I don't think there'll be a player in the game that can dominate both ends of the rink the way Austin Matthews is on the verge of doing.
Let's be honest here. Colorado is the Toronto Maple Leafs of the second round in that they always lose in the second round. Three straight years losing in the second round. I mean, it's better than losing in the first round. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
I would much rather, if I was a player, lose in the second round than in the first round. But we'll see if those second round demons continue to haunt the Avalanche as they get ready for Game 6 tomorrow night.
If you are the Brooklyn Nets, would you rather sign Kyrie Irving to a long-term contract and keep Kevin Durant happy, or not sign Kyrie Irving to a long-term contract but risk alienating Kevin Durant?
It's a tough question to answer because I wouldn't want to give Kyrie Irving a long-term contract because I don't think anybody can trust Kyrie Irving based on some of the things that he brings to the table that are distractions. We know what he can do in the court, but I don't think a decision with Kyrie Irving is going to ultimately have a factor in any decision that Kevin Durant makes, because Kevin Durant is a recruiting asset himself. I mean, if people want to come play in Brooklyn, they know they're coming to play with Kevin Durant. So I would lean on I would rather not give Kyrie the long-term extension and take the risk on Kevin Durant staying by bringing another guy.
So the situation with Kyrie, he's got a $36.5 million player option for this year. So in theory, Kyrie could decline that option this summer and enter free agency, go sign wherever he decides to sign with. Or he could opt in and perhaps negotiate a long-term deal with Brooklyn. And there was a report from the New York Daily News that the Nets are unwilling to give him a long-term extension due to his injury history. And we know the whole vaccine stuff with Kyrie as well. I'm sure that factors in. So it's a fascinating dilemma. And it kind of falls in line with James Harden in Philly and Brad Beal in Washington, where you have these guys who are exceptional players offensively, no doubt. But they all come with these question marks that make you kind of sketched out about whether or not you want to give them long-term deals at massive money. And I would probably argue of the three, I would be most inclined to give a long-term deal to Kyrie because I still think he's at the top of his game. I mean, the guy is an incredible, incredible player.
When he wants to be.
When he's able to play, and that's a different question.
That's the issue because look,
Harden definitely not.
Look at the world that we're living in. Every couple months, something controversial comes up. Can you really trust that Kyrie Irving won't find himself in the middle of something that is controversial?
You're right.
Instead of playing basketball? Like, that's the issue here. And that's what I mean about trust, is can you trust him to commit himself to be a full-time basketball player? And the answer to me is no, you can't. Because he hasn't given you any reason to believe that you can trust him.
Very, very well said. Very well said. Let's go one more, Rod. We've got Duffy in about 15 minutes.
Would you rather, if you are the Blue Jays, would you rather trade for Joey Votto, as Steve Phillips suggested on SportsCenter last night, or trade for a lesser name who's having a better season, like Benintendi or Trey Mancini?
What do you think Joey Votto would cost the Jays?
Probably at nothing. This point?
What is his contractual situation, Rod?
He has $35 million still owed to him by the Cincinnati Reds.
On 1 year or 2 year?
2 years.
Okay, so that's the big hurdle here for the Blue Jays, is you're never going to get that production that salary demands. So I don't know, in baseball, are you allowed to retain salary in a trade?
Yes.
Okay, so... Yep. That would probably... I should have known that because I know Nolan Arenado, Cardinals and the Colorado Rockies, I think they retained like half of the contract for him to go to get traded.
And then sign Chris Bryant.
And then sign Chris... No kidding. Jeez. Wow. That would play a big factor. Any deal that involves Joey Votto has to have some salary retention. And if that happens, okay, then yeah, you'd be willing to give up maybe a little bit more of a package to get him. And I think, and we saw it over the weekend when he was here, he scored it, you know, he had a big home run to seal the game on Sunday, and how fitting that was, considering that could possibly be his last time playing in Toronto, depending on where his career goes. But I think he's a guy motivated in the right situation, can find his game again. And what better motivation do you need to come home and be the left-handed bat that the Blue Jays have been dying to have?
He's been good lately, too. I mean, he had a homer last night, three ribbies. He's got hits in five of his last six games. He's turning his season around. Dude was hitting like 112 for the first month of the year. And maybe he's getting hot again. I mean, this is a guy who's not that far removed from really quality seasons, even at his advanced age. So, I mean, he had 36 homers last year. Wow, I didn't even know that. Those are some big numbers. So, I mean, maybe he is falling off a cliff. I mean, you know it, Carlo. You've seen it in professional sports. One year, you're productive. You show up next year, you just lose it, right? And maybe that happened to Joey Votto, but maybe the Jays might be able to summon.
Look at Marcus Semien.
Well, I don't know if Marcus Semien lost it, but he's still a young guy.
Oh, he lost it.
You don't think Marcus Semien's good at all this year?
Dude, the guy's hitting 160 and has zero home runs, and we're almost 50 games into the season.
You're telling me if you were still a big fantasy baseball guy, and I used to be one as well, you're not doing everything you can to try to trade for Marcus Semien before he blows up?
No.
Well, that would be a move. Marcus
Semien took advantage of an amazing situation he was in last year. He was protected with the lineup that he batted in. And obviously with the team that he played on, there was the motivation for him to have a great year because of the contract he was about to sign. Look, I've never experienced signing a long-term deal for a crazy amount of money. But when you sign that type of money, what's the motivation now? You know, especially when and I don't want to call him a quitter, and I don't want to call him a guy that is mailing it in, but look at Chris Davis. We've seen this happen so many times
in
baseball.
Chris Davis, yeah.
Where guys sign these monster deals, and it's like, okay, I've got my money. No one can take it away from me. I'm just going to show up every day and play, and regardless of how I do, I'm going to get paid. And some guys have that mentality, and it sucks. It absolutely sucks, but that's life, that's sports, man. When you commit to guys, you take a risk.
A text coming in, 10:50:50. Coco, good point on hair. Way overrated. All right.
It is, man.
Some people
I hate
who agree.
It.
You know who has great hair?
It.
You know who has great hair? James Duthie. I'm curious to know if he also believes that hair is overrated. And here's what I'm going to suggest to our technical staff. Try to come up with some Photoshops. 20 fingers, I'm looking at you. Maybe Duthie bald, Carlo bald. If you want to include myself in it as well, you've got about 11 minutes
to
tell
me if you could pull off like a Jason Statham or the Rock look, you wouldn't do it?
Yeah, those guys.
Oh, dude, man. Hair sucks.
But I would also love to pull off a Harry Styles look, you know, or like that
William Nylander look.
William Nylander, absolutely.
That's too much hair, man. For the amount of times I shower, hair sucks, man.
How many times do you shower?
At least once a day.
It's like not that much. That's normal. I would say most people shower once a day.
Dude, when I was playing, I would take about 5 showers a day.
What?
Well, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd take a shower. After practice, I'd take a shower. I'd get to the rink for a game, I'd take a shower. After the game, you take a shower. Like, it's added up, man.
It's a good thing you're making a lot of money. Those hydro bills at your house in St. Louis must have been out of control.
When you have long hair, man, the worst thing to do is just shower all the time. I feel bad for women that have to, like, even just women, the amount of time they take to get ready almost.
It's
times.
True.
It's like, wow, you waste a lot of time.
I have a wedding on Saturday. My boy Kyle, shout out to him. And there's like pictures and stuff beforehand. And I have heard that the ladies who are coming early for pictures for like, you know, the close friends.
They book like 3 hours.
Hours. And I'm like, it's going to take me about 3 minutes to get ready. I put my suit on, throw a little, hair
gel.
Get my Manscaped products going and be ready to rock, you know. Use the code 1050 for 20% off and free shipping. Just go to manscaped.com. James Duthie and Tass Mellis will join us from the No Dunks pod. Maybe he can tell us what's going on. Ooh. That kind of rhymed. Maybe he can tell us what's going on between Miami and Boston, some of the most boring games, whether it's the lack of offense or blowouts from one side to the other. Just an awful Eastern Conference final so far, but could still be some intrigue with Game 6 on the horizon tomorrow night. And we've got Duthie in 10 minutes. That's all coming up in the third and final hour of First Up for this Thursday morning. This hour of First Up, powered by Manscaped.